Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our lessons of 2018 with our national conference speakers. And joining me today is the head football coach at Rochester High School in Illinois. He's been there 13 years. During that time, has won 7 state championships, 7 out of the last 9 years, actually. And that is the head football coach, Derek Leonard. Coach, it's great to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Coach, we at USA Football got familiar with you and your father, Ken Leonard, who was just on a couple weeks ago on the podcast. In the piece we did on the Leonard series, the Leonard Bowl. And first of all, thank you for participating in that. That though is, I think, one of the most unique things in the country. The rivalry there between you and your father.
It was neat. It was fun. It was really hard because it was about my mom, and it was but I was glad her name got out there and her story, and really my dad's story. I mean, just the success he's had and being the all-time winningest coach, playing me on that game, and then obviously with my mom dying of cancer last year about this time. And, you know, it was a special week. The USA football people were great. We had a fun time, but it was sad and happy and hectic all in the same thing. And so it really was, and it worked. I mean, it turned out great. They did a great job, and, you know, but I was glad my mom and my dad got, you know, glorified and everything they stand for and what my dad stands for. And I mean, he's the best coach I've ever been around. And then obviously her story and, you know, where they stand in their lives and what's most important to them. You know, I think that came across, you know, Jesus and football and family. And I hope that came across. And I thought the USA football people did such a good job because it was fun. But like I said, it was a hectic week, but it was a fun week for sure.
Well, when you look at it, I mean, that's the power of football. That's the power behind this game. For us to be out there and to be able to capture that game, father facing his son for a record game, you know, that game was the record for the most wins in Illinois history. And then on top of that, really a celebration of a life in this game. You know, we always talk about the men and what they do for it, the men who spend so much time like your father in this game, but, you know, right along his side the whole way was your mother.
No, that's right. And I was along their side. I was young when I got my first head job, but I always told people, man, it was like I've been assistant for 10 or 15 years because I just sat on the sidelines and watched him. You know, he's been so far ahead of the game on certain things, you know, offensively, obviously. I mean, he was one of the first guys to do the read zone, you know, reading the end out of the shotgun. I mean, some of the stuff he was doing, he was so ahead of time. But also just how, like you said, the 3D coaching aspect of things, coaching men and being a good Christian role model, leading like that, and all the stuff that's coming out now in leadership and things like that. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. And that's why people like Dabo Swinney and good men are, you know what I mean? It really comes down to that leadership and being a good person and doing what's right. And all that other stuff is extra. If you walk your talk and walk your walk, and as a coach, you know, your kids will follow and they'll do most of them, you know, it's going to make a difference. And like I said, I had a front row seat for that. And the story is good because of the two communities and what football means and what just, you know, what it, the whole story and what, like you said, it's more about football. It really was. And, I can say that because we lost, but you know, it means a lot more than just the game. And, you know, I think that's what I learned from my mom and dad, and I've been blessed to be in the spot. I'm a coach's son, and that's all I ever knew. And, you know, we never had a lot of money, but I never knew the difference. And my life was always good, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. And like I said, I learned from the best. So.
Well, we know, obviously, your father's been a big influence on your career. Tell us a little bit, though, about your journey into coaching and getting your start and your growth along the way.
Yeah, you know, I always knew I wanted to be a coach, and, you know, I want to be an NFL player, but that being 6 foot and being heavy set didn't help at the quarterback position. So went to college, and you know, within the college, I was blessed there too. I had a guy named Jim Good, who was our offensive coordinator at Illinois College in Jacksonville, small D3, and we just had to find ways to win. And I remember we were doing fly sweep out of the shotgun when nobody was doing it. This was back in 2001, and going no huddle, and he put a lot on me. And so, man, I learned a lot from him and how you have to win with less talent. And I think that carried me on into my first assistant job at Prairie Central High School, and was there for 2 years and got lucky at the age of 23 at a very young age to get the Rochester job. And, you know, a lot of that was probably because of my last name, my dad. But from there, took it and kind of been doing stuff out of the box, thinking, you know, offensively, we've gone fast, no huddle for a long time, for about 13 years, and doing a lot of stuff and just being ahead of the curve and having fun. Great community. But like you said, I learned so much from my dad, but other people, influences in my life, that taught me so much. And, you know, that's where I'm at today. And that's why I love where I'm at. And, was kind of those reasons, but my dad was obviously the biggest influence. And like I said earlier, you know, he taught me, do what you love, and, you know, don't be afraid to try new things. And, I wasn't, and I think that's partly why the success we've had today is because, you know, wasn't afraid and tried some things. And a lot of things didn't work, but some did, and it's worked out good. So,
Coach, I know in talking to your father that there's a system in place that he has for character development and developing leadership and developing the culture of his team. And for you, you have that consistency of success now in your program. And before we got going, you mentioned that that's something that, you know, the way you implement that stays very consistent. And the challenge for you this year was getting a group of young leaders ready. So how were you able to do, you know, what you do always on a consistent basis to get this group of young men ready for the 2018 season?
Yeah, it was a little bit different for us because we did have such a young group. And like you said, we didn't change much, but there's things we do consistently every year, every season that we take in, and the kids know. And sometimes, like with a young group, you just have to put them in leadership positions earlier. We always go on a weight trip, but we've done this for 12 years too. We go to a guy named John Wright's house, and it's basically a getaway. And he's got a field of dreams in his backyard, and we take the whole team and we go there and we get away for 2 days. And he talks about leadership, and we do a little bit of football, but we do more about life. And, you know, and a lot of things like that. You know, we have every Monday we do a character class, no matter what, before football starts. And we just talk about life. You know, it's, a lot of times it's not set. It's, you know, things that are just on my mind or on the player's mind. You know, and I let the leaders lead that, but I also let my coaches, and I try to mix it up, bring people in. You know, we do a lot of that. But and I'm lucky with my program. Like I said, we've had success. So, you know, a lot of times you got to coach your coaches and coach your leaders, and then they coach the young kids. And so, you know, that was the biggest thing. But it was tough this year because we were so young. But, you know, it is no different than any other year when it's said and done. And you just got – the big thing is, hey, you want to be good people, do what's right off the field, and just be good people. But your coach has got to be good people. I think that's one of the misconceptions. You know, there's all these different, you know, systems and ways of teaching leadership and all these things. But really it boils down to, you know, you got to be a good person as a coach. It doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, we don't sin, but in the long run, like I said earlier, you got to walk your talk and then walk the walk for these kids. Otherwise, no matter what comes out of your mouth, they're not going to believe and respect. So that's the big thing I try to do. And, you know, we've had success with it, and hopefully it carries on.
Coach, this season you mentioned to me that you guys were a little bit out of the norm of your 50-50 balance that you prefer on the field. You became a little bit run heavy, and two things were really a big part of that for you. You had two, even three quarterbacks on the field at a time, and you implemented the RPO with Buck Sweep and some other plays that you'll actually share some of those ideas with us at National Conference on the field, some counter and gap scheme type stuff. But talk to us a little bit first about playing that many quarterbacks and, you know, first of all, the challenges of doing that. How are you able to get two or three guys on the field at a time and utilize their skills?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because, man, I've never been in that position. Now, these guys were pretty good athletes, and so some of them fit naturally at receiver, you know, and even one of them could play running back a little bit and that kind of thing. And so, you know, that wasn't too hard from that aspect, but, you know, just getting them out on the field at the same time. And sometimes they weren't out there, but sometimes they would be, and I think we're going to do more of that next year. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it wasn't as hard as it was seen. And the type of quarterbacks we had this year, they were all athletic. And so that's why I think we became a little bit more run heavy. And we've been doing RPO, Scott, forever, especially off the bubble. Now we've been doing that for about 12 or 13 years now off the counter and power stuff. You know, you change it. You make sure you tell a man it better be wide open if you're going to throw it. You know, when your line's big and you feel like you can pound some people, you just make sure it's really open, or you just teach it a little differently in what you expect and how they see it. You want to always give them that option, but you also, as I've learned in time, each quarterback is different, each team's different. And sometimes with the quarterback I had 2 years ago, man, if there was even a little window or, you know, we'd say throw it, where this year was a little bit more, hey, man, that window better be wide open if you're going to throw the ball. Otherwise, let's hand it off. Let's be safe. Or let's do a lot of quarterback run stuff, you know, a lot of run option, you know, two different types of runs, especially with them, and even some option stuff off of it. So that was probably the biggest difference. The offense didn't exactly change. It's just how you approach it and what you tell the quarterbacks, probably more than anything, how you communicate with them to run or pass.
Coach, did you use, I guess, Princeton? You know, they're kind of popular for doing something like that. Did you use them as a resource?
I did use them a little bit. I had looked, and I think, I mean, I hate that I don't know. There was another school, I think in the Ivy League, that was doing some of it. And I looked at some of it, and we had done some of it in the past, too. But I definitely looked over some of that and just in how to how they did it. You know, and they use that kid, I think, if I remember, a lot as a running back, you know, and different things. But yeah, we definitely, I know there's a few schools out there, colleges that were doing it that we kind of looked at and saw what they were doing. And I mean, I'll probably even look into it more this year. Some just because I think there's times we can have three on the field next year too. And so, but some of it's just creativity, you know what I mean? It's staying within your system and trying to say how can you get people out there and how can you get quarterbacks and put the defense in a bad situation with those guys out there.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is you know, what's some of the ideas, I guess, that you have that, you know, certainly we can put another quarterback out there and he can be a receiver and do those things, but the threat they present to the defense is that they can throw the ball as well. So how do you make sure that on every play where you have two or three guys out there, at least some way in the series of plays you're going to put in, that those guys become a threat? What kind of things do you incorporate?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, if they're not a threat to do that, then they're just another position player, you know. And having them being able to be a threat to throw the ball, or be a threat to, run option off things, run option off the fly sweep. You know, we've always done a lot of crazy formations. There ain't always five linemen next to each other, you know. And so moving those linemen out there in front of the slot receivers and kind of doing the old A11 stuff kind of version of that. You know, and we do some, and we've done that stuff forever too, you know. And not exactly with three quarterbacks, but that's the kind of stuff you know, we're doing, and we're going to even look into more, you know, and so putting linemen out there with, you know, with the quarterbacks at slot. But like you said, it has to present a problem for it to be a problem. You know, they just can't be out there playing receiver, you know, you not do things with them. And so, but I think also adding the one thing we probably did a little bit more last year was add a little bit of option game, true option, you know, pitching the ball, whether it's a double option, speed option, or triple option, and not the old school way of it, kind of the new way, and getting, you know, top motion, fly motion, or whatever you want to call it, bullet, you know, all those, and but also putting those guys out in stack positions and putting linemen out there in front of them and doing different things with them. And so that's some of the creative stuff we try to do that, you know, like, but still be in your offense, right? You don't want to do all that stuff and get away from it, because otherwise then it's, you get a headache because your kids will be confused, and then it's just gimmick. But you want to try to fit your offense, and how do you fit it with that personnel.
Coach, on that topic, you know, when you do get into doing some of those crazy formations, you mentioned like the A11 stuff and just spreading linemen out all over and doing those things, how do you avoid being gimmicky in that? I mean, to me, always, whatever you do, you want to keep it simple enough for your guys that you could go out and practice it and it doesn't take a ton of time. Yet when that guy sees it on the other side and he sees it on film, you're taking a lot of time away from him to prepare for it.
That's exactly right. And that's originally what we did. You know, we wanted to always take the focus away from what the focus really should be on. Right. So I think you can use those formations in a lot of different ways. Number one, like you said, defense has to practice whether they want to or not. They got to take 10, 15 minutes. And a game week, you take 10 or 15 minutes away, all coaches know, hey, that's rough. And then it's also to use as a, especially when I got a really special player, to do things to get that person the ball. You know, I think in 2011 or 10, we were really doing a kid named Zach Grant, receiver that played at Illinois. And we used a ton of those formations, just different ways. You know, if a team was doubling him or tripling him, okay, now it's a way of getting those linemen out there and just making you play a numbers game. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is just playing a numbers game. But you got to give, hey, you got to be able to run the quarterback, the other side, you got to, you know, they're going to line up bad somewhere, they're going to be short somewhere, and you got to be able to take advantage of it when they do. And so, and we've done a good job at that, I hope, of just trying to make people guard everybody and guard the whole field. When it's all said and done, that's really what it's about. And just trying to play a numbers game, and you know, that's really what the formation is. It's goofy, but you have, like you said, you have to keep it within your system. And throwing quick game, the bubble screens, the, you know, all that stuff, that's who we are, that's what we've always been. And maintaining that even in those formations without confusing the kids and making new stuff, how do you implement it? And that's, like I said, we've done it so long, it's kind of just part of who we are, so it's not as bad. But someone who's trying it new, it can be tough, you know.
How are you able to, I guess, structure that for the linemen so that it, I think, you know, that's usually the group who it becomes a little bit more complex for. All, you know, you're playing next to five guys and somebody in their hands and in their dirt right in front of you, and now all of a sudden you're out in space. How do you keep the
right
consistency for them?
That's good, yeah. And it matters the year. You know, when we first did this, like, man, I think we first started in 2009. And we have never been huge. And so I take my two best athletic guys usually and send them out. But what I started doing was putting receivers in lineman numbers and subbing them in and letting them be the lineman, you know. So now those guys are used to it. But that matters the year. You know, some years I'll send the lineman out if I think they're, you know, athletic enough in space and they understand it. Or tight end H-backs that I could put in linemen's numbers that I could put out there. But lately, the last few years, I've really put receivers, kind of my fifth, sixth, seventh guys. We'll put them, you know, put a lineman number up and send them out there. And then it looks like we have seven receivers. So, so you know, that's two different ways, because it is tough sometimes for that lineman in space on certain things. And certain things it's not, you know, it's just, hey, it ends up – what ends up being, like, a lot of times, you know, if you spit it out there, it's an ISO play. You know, it's the old Oklahoma drill.
Right.
You know, we just block the most dangerous guy, and that the little receiver just wiggles, and he'll be behind you, you know, and he's going to go either way. But try to keep it simple in that way. But there is sometimes some confusion. You got to work on that blocking in space. But like I said, I usually take my two best athletic guys, smaller guys, and put them out with the receivers if we do some of that stuff.
Interesting. When you do that, have I don't know if you're doing it at the beginning of the series, in a series, but you're subbing out, I think, as I'm understanding it, two linemen and bringing in receivers with lineman numbers. Do you see teams trying to match you with personnel, or are they leaving the same amount of linemen on the field, or are they doing something different?
Yeah, it's funny. Each year, Matt, and we kind of do it different, but it's we go so fast, and we're such a fast and huddle team that it's usually tough for them to try to do that, I think, to sub those kind of kids in. And we probably don't do it enough for teams. You know, I try to break out in games I want it, or games, hey, we want to throw somebody else in the next game. I mean, I think the 2011 state championship game was probably the most we did it. We ran it about 14 or 15 plays. And they used one nose tackle the whole time. So, they basically had 10 skill guys out there defending that. But then we come in, and then we felt like it was easy. So we'd shift out of it, shift in and out. And that's where if you use linemen, it's tougher, I think, if you can. Because now you can shift, hey, if they, they can't bring skill guys in, to guard the run or vice versa, then to guard the pass.
Right.
Where if you bring those skill guys in, you're kind of stuck. But we try to do it as fast as possible, and we try to come in and out of it. We don't ever just, if you're really lining up bad, we might stay in it. But, man, we really just want to get a few plays and see if we can get something, or if you're giving us something, we'll take it.
Right.
But come in and out of it, that kind of thing. You know what I mean? So we're always keeping you on your heels, and you're not getting used to us doing that.
Right. Well, Coach, the other thing you mentioned as something that was good for you in 2018 was the buck sweep RPO. Talk us through your buck sweep RPO, and I guess first the setup of it. What are you running it out of?
Yeah, we're running. Man, we've been always in the past a big. We try to have a tight end, a H-back in the game with it, and true down block scheme, because that kind of matches who we are with the counter tray and power. So it's kind of our third play, but really it became a great play because I don't love RPOs. Like, we're a big bubbler now team when we're reading the end or the first level, I guess you say. But when we were the second level, sometimes it's hard we do a lot of it, but sometimes it can be a little tougher, but the buck sweeps, I think, is great because it was easier to read the second level, those linebackers, those inside linebackers, and sometimes those safeties rolling down or whatever. And so we got into a lot of that. And we didn't have to always crack the slot on the inside backer when we RPO'd it, And so it kind of gave me another level for it. And we started that about 3 years ago, and we really did it a lot this year. So we didn't always have to crack the, we used to run it, man, pretty set, the old buck sweep, but just out of shotgun. But that slot would crack the inside backer and both guard pull kind of thing. And now doing some of the RPO stuff, we didn't have to crack him as much. So we could do some, we didn't have to. We could read that guy. We could read the backside inside guy. So we could be a guy short in the blocking scheme per se. But then we'd read, the RPO or pass off of it.
So from a formation, what's the formation you like to use to run that?
Yeah, probably the best was the, three receivers, H-back, called open set. But I also like four receivers with an H-back, fullback, or tight end, whatever you want to call that guy, and with just the quarterback. And so doing a lot of quarterback run stuff, buck sweep with the RPO or fly RPO, buck sweeps. And now you're just – it ends up being the same thing. Right, three receivers, and you just motion the guy back. But, that was probably our favorite formation. We get a lot of overload and unbalanced looks and run it, put two receivers on with an H-back and tailback. So you're just outnumbering people on certain things. But it all turns into the same, without, again, trying not to confuse the linemen and the receivers and everything, but also being flexible in your formations. And giving the defense a different look, but you're running the same thing, just a different way,
So you guys are pulling both guards?
We always pull the guards. Yeah, we do. We can. I haven't liked pulling my center and my tackle. I would try to keep the rules you were just talking about Coach Hand, and man, I kind of learned it from him probably when he's at Vanderbilt, man, 8 years ago. And our rules are very similar to what he had at Auburn and different places, I think. And so, yeah, we always try to pull both guards. And if we get, you know, if we run to a certain look, one, we'll only pull one guy. It'll let me give a call, and you know, like to a one technique, or and we'll pull one guy. But we're looking at, actually, it's funny you say that, we're looking into some stuff where we, and I feel like more of my linemen can pull next year, especially our center. So we might, you know, we might go to some of that where we can, we're always going to make sure we pull two guys, because in certain defenses and looks, sometimes they could dictate to us if they wanted, you know, that we only pull one person. Now, we don't do it so much that I think a defense is focused on that as much, but because with countering power, it doesn't work, you know, we're going to run it against anything. And but in the Bucks sweep, sometimes they could dictate to us a few of our rules. And but we, in a perfect world, we want to pull both those guards for sure, and that's what we've done in the past.
And then from the, you know, read perspective, I think I heard you right, you're reading the backside linebacker on this. So the linebacker in the box, I guess, away from where the guys are pulling to, correct?
Yeah, and we'll do both. We'll read, man, we'll do both. And we'll do some pre-snap stuff, too,
okay,
off of it, you know. So we will do, like, hey, you're just backside post, exactly. Read your backside inside backer, and even safety some when we're going that way. But we'll also read some front side stuff. We'll read in the front side. And in all this, what I like that we've always done is we can also turn everything into a quarterback run reading the same person, you know. So you don't always have, like I said, it can be a run-run option with the quarterback running, you know, and not changing who the quarterback's looking at, but he knows now, hey, instead of throwing off that guy at the post, you know, hey, we're going to run off of it. And I think that's the key when you're doing this stuff. And that gives you flexibility later on, certain years and even during the year, of if you're doing so many things and that quarterback doesn't understand it, you know, or doesn't know why he's reading it, or, hey, you know what I mean? And that, and so in our offense, we really try to keep the same, you know, reading the same guy on certain things, and he understands, hey, I can throw it and I got this route, or, hey, I can run it, you know, as the quarterback, I can do it, turn it into a quarterback run reading that guy. And so, yes, but like you said, it backside inside, some of the backside safety, but we also do some front side inside stuff too. So
I know, when I would, I didn't necessarily use the buck sweep to do it. I would do a lot of play action off of power read, but the throw is the same as like an RPO throw. What I was looking for, whether I was going to go front side or back side, was really if I saw linebackers more downhill, I felt better throwing front side. If I saw those guys sliding and kind of, you know, moving with the guards, moving with the sweep action, then right, I was feeling from the backside. Is there anything you consider like that when you're looking at, are we going to have this coming from the front side or the backside?
No, I am. That's a good, yeah, that's a great point. And a lot of teams now, you know, and we put guards almost on everything. And so you know quick, hey, are they reading guards or are they reading flow? Mm-hmm. And so it does make a big difference. Also in my play calling, because a lot of times if you're reading certain things, a lot of times I just, you know, people, and I think RPO is kind of the fancy new word and thing. A lot of times it's play action, you know, and a lot of these things guys are doing, everyone thinks, oh, that's a great RPO. But man, when you really look at it and you break it down, the people, I think, who are doing the stuff, it, a lot of times it is a play action. Now, some stuff is RPO, but like you said, and the backside, I think, is easier naturally for the quarterback in a lot of the stuff. The front side, I think, is a lot of times play action. Mm-hmm. And now not always, but it seems like in our stuff it is a little bit more. But that's a great way of putting it, you know, just and it's all who you're playing and what they're looking at. You know, hey, are they just blitzing? Are they just coming after you? Well, that changes a lot of things. If they're reading guards, that changes things for us especially. And obviously, you know, a lot of teams are going to flow now and just kind of feeling it. And mm-hmm. So, you know, you're getting more defensive looks. And so, it is becoming, like, not more difficult, but just different. But I think, like you said, a lot of it is who you're facing. And certain weeks you might not do anything, and the next week you do it a lot, you know. And that's why you do have to be flexible, I think, in this offense.
Coach, you mentioned in talking a little bit about the quarterback that, you know, you need to coach that guy up, and he needs to be schooled in how to do these things, and that's footwork, and that's how he's going to throw and all the mechanics of it, and that's going to be something you'll be working on with us at National Conference. We have a unique setup for you. You won't be on the stage with a screen behind you. You're going to be out on the field, and you're going to be working on and teaching us some of the things you do scheme-wise, but with more of a focus on how you're coaching up the quarterback in the RPO. Talk to us a little bit about what you're going to share at our National Conference.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I've never done that before, so I'm looking forward to it, and yeah, kind of nervous, actually. But yeah, I'm going to, you know, I want to talk just about what we've got. Like I said, we've done it forever, and the different things to do with the quarterback, whether he's a running guy or a throwing guy, or whether he's a quick decision guy or he's not, you know, you got to see it. And I think the biggest thing is, and the biggest mistake personally I see, and even at the college level, is the quarterback's feet and them not being right, and matching up your run game and how his feet are with the RPO stuff, especially, you know, play action, that's different. Hey, he knows he's fake, and he knows he's getting his feet a certain way. But so many people that these quarterbacks end up, their feet are bad, their body's bad, you know, and so they're making these passes and, hey, it might be the right decision. Well, but the velocity's not there. The accuracy's not there. And the problem is they see these people like the Tyler Murray's and the Baker Mayfields of the world. And those guys, it doesn't matter how their body is, mm-hmm. but those guys are such a select few, people. And even in my case, you know, I had a kid 2 years ago that's now at Southern Illinois, kid named Nick Baker. And his body could be however he needed it to be, you know, and he could throw sidearm, he could throw different angles, his feet could be different way. And most quarterbacks, kid this year, who's a great quarterback, his, you know, he just can't do that. And his feet have to be a certain way, and we got to be disciplined. And so hopefully I get that across, and different ways that we drill and do things to make sure that their quarterback's feet, yeah, hey, we're reading this linebacker, like on that buck sweep backside. You know, is his body going to be square to the line, or are we going to be turned? You know, how is that running back going to take that handoff, and how are we going to look, and how does that affect that RPO? And I think that stuff's really important, because I think 90 to 80% of the guys, quarterbacks, especially in high school, you know, if their feet aren't right, you know, they're going to be inaccurate. And, you know, and so I think that's the big thing I'm going to touch on. I hope that's interesting, but we'll see. So, but that's the big thing, is having their feet right and certain drills, and how we match the offense to make sure it's got to be quarterback friendly. And if we're going to do this offense, it's got to be, you know, the run game and how his feet are have to match where we want RPO wise and where he's throwing.
Well, and you're gonna be sharing that on the live field at National Conference. So really dynamic presentation there. We're excited to have you and your father there. He'll be there as well, sharing some of his experiences and his knowledge with us. On his topic is going to be on character building. So we're excited to have both of you there. For our listeners out there, a couple things. Check out our show notes, and we'll put a link in there to the Leonard story. You'll love that video. Coach mentioned Herb Hand, and we've done a podcast with him. I'll include that link in the show notes. And then Coach is going to share some video with us of some of the things we talked here as far as some of the X and O's and on-field things. Coach, really appreciate you joining us on the podcast. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Orlando February 22nd through the 24th, and share more of this stuff out there in Orlando.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It was awesome.
And we'll share Coach's links as far as where you can contact him, as well as some of those things I mentioned in the show notes. Go to blogs.usafootball.com. Follow us on our Twitter. Myself and my team will be doing some things there at FBDEV Coach, and my Twitter as well, at Coach K Grabowski. If you are enjoying the podcast, please go over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating there. And if you would leave a review, it helps the podcast as well.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.